Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Now, I want you to take your Bibles with me, and I'm going to preach a message today. I'm very excited to teach you today. I'm going to actually be teaching kind of verse by verse. I'm going to take you to the book of Luke. You want to go to chapter 18. You can hang out there for just a second. And if I were entitling this message today, I would call it Good Dude, Bad Dude. Good Dude, Bad Dude. And I want to tell you about a good dude in the Bible. And then I want to show you, we're going to flip stories in one chapter over. I'm going to show you a bad dude. And just spoiler alert, the good dude doesn't end up good and the bad dude doesn't end up bad. But for the sake of our story, one starts out as a good dude and one starts out as a bad dude. And so if you're, why don't you just go ahead and declare who's beside you right now? Is it a good dude or a bad dude? Just look to the side and you can declare it. Remember, a bad dude may end up good and a good may end up bad. So be careful how you declare it. And I want to take you to Luke 18. And in fact, this story, we know this story. It's also listed in other gospels, which gives us a little more detail. So I'll give you the headline of the story. He's called the rich young ruler. The story of the rich young ruler. Just so we have other versions in the other gospels that give a little more insight than Luke 18. So he's a rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. And I believe he's single. Do we have any single ladies in the room? Anybody single in here? This is someone you'd want to meet. He's single, he's rich, and he's young. And so let's look at this story, and I'll tell you a little bit about him as we go along. Let's go to verse number 18 in Luke 18. One day, one of the local officials, rich, young ruler, comes to Jesus and asks him, "Good teacher, what must I do to," remember if it's in yellow, you help me, "what must I do to what? To deserve eternal life." Now, I just want you to stop right there, and I want to make sure we're all tracking with this story. Deserve, what must I do to deserve eternal life? In other words, what do I have to do to deserve heaven? Now, everybody look right here, because I know we're all come from different places. Some of you grew up in more of a traditional background. I want you to know this. There is nothing you can do to deserve eternal life. In fact, you can't earn it. It's unearnable. It is not by works, Ephesians tells us, that you're saved or receive eternal life. It's by grace. Everybody say grace. That means the unmerited favor of God. You didn't deserve it, you can't earn it, and you don't deserve it. In fact, I would say the opposite to you. If we were getting what we deserved, so it's not an issue of being good or being bad. And I'm reading a story, good dude, bad dude. It's not an issue of being good or bad. In fact, the scripture is very clear to us, and I'll give you a couple of things that it tells about you. There is none of you that's good, no, not one. Even the good among you, the righteous among you, your righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. So you ain't good. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Say them, you bad. You bad. And so I want you to know there's none. So Jesus is actually going to entertain, even though he's going to entertain the premise of the conversation, though the premise of the conversation is completely wrong. Some of you grew up thinking that God was one day going to put you in the scales. And when I say scales, I mean the scales. And that he was going to weigh you. And if you did more good than you did bad, you're going to be okay. That's not true. That's not true. There is none that's good, no, not one. You're righteous. Even your good deeds as filthy rags to the Lord. So you go, what? Well, there's got to be some good news in this. Yeah, the good news is that's why Jesus came, to get on the scale, to make you good. He took your sin and gave you his righteousness. The divine exchange to take the sins off of you and give you his goodness. He took your bad and gave you his good. So when God sees you, he doesn't see you bad. He sees his good. He sees his son, the righteousness of Christ on you. So if you're here today and you're born again, and any sin that you can think of that you've already repented of, and you're already, if you're clear today, if you got a clear conscience, you're good. You're real good. Not because you're good, because he's good. Can I get an amen from the congregation, all right? Now watch this. Jesus said to him, "Why are you calling me good?" And remember, he doesn't call him, he calls him teacher. Hey, teacher. Hey, good teacher. And he says, "Why are you calling me good?" And Jesus says it. "No one is good, only God. You know the commandments." Remember the question. "What must I do to deserve eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You know the commandments. No illicit sex." What does that mean? That means outside of marriage, the confines of marriage, until I get married, that I'm not to have sex with anybody but one woman. Thank you. I am a one-woman man. Heidi Lynn Reisner. She gets me, all of me. All of me. Thank you. Yeah, give the Lord praise. Praise God. He's off the market. Yes. I'm off the market. He said, "You know the commandments, no illicit sex outside of marriage, no killing." We're good? Okay, good. "No stealing, no lying. Honor your father and mother." And all the parents said, to give honor to them means to give weight to your mother and your father. I have a mother and father. They're not here. They're out of town today. They go to our church here. Mother, I still honor my mother and my father. That doesn't mean I do what they tell me, because they're always telling me what to do. "You know what you need to do, Jeannie." They call me Jeannie. "You call me Jeannie, you're out of the church." Jeannie. Let me tell you, I honor them. I say, "Thank y'all. I really appreciate that," and don't do what they say. Anyway, but I do honor them. I honor, "Thank you. Thank you for your wisdom." I give weight to that, and then I have to make a decision for me and my household. And so he says to him, "This is what you need to do. No illicit sex. You know the commandments. You know, no killing, no stealing, no lying. Honor your father and your mother." And by the way, these are the commandments that relate to man, because there's some more commandments that relate to God, isn't there? "You shall have no other gods before God. Do not create yourself a graven image." But he only gives him these this way command. You know the commands. Don't steal, lie, cheat, honor, no illicit sex. You know those commands. And watch what he says. He says to him, how do you measure up to these? And look what the man says in verse 21. He said what? "I've kept them all. All of them I've kept as long as I can remember. I've kept them. I'm good." So what do we know about this guy? We know he's rich. We know he's young. I believe he's single. I believe it. And we know that he's a good dude. The dude's good. I mean, he's the kind of guy I would introduce to my daughters. I mean, he checks the boxes. Rich. How many of you girls available? I mean, you would want me, if you saw him out in the foyer, if he was here today, you'd say, "Pastor, you, can you hook me up?" I mean, I would make sure he was invited to the single mother's banquet, and I'd have him work the door. Are y'all with me? I mean, you'd be looking, you'd be checking his hands during worship. Does he have a ring on? Because I want to know, just to be close to you. This is, guys and girls are different, and I'm going to let y'all in and kind of the guy talk, right? And then, you know, the girl talk. There's the girl talk. The girls, what would the girls be saying about the rich young ruler? They'd be saying things like this. I mean, he is kind of cute. I mean, he's got a business. Did you see his car? He's got a nice car. I didn't see a ring on his finger. No, he's a very nice guy. He's very honoring. He honors his parents, and I believe he's very moral, and he's a very upstanding. I mean, he is this really, I'd like to meet him one day. Hey, girl, I don't know, give him my number. That would be the girl. Let me tell you the guy talk. That's a good dude right there. That's it. That's all we would say. That's a good dude. In fact, we talk about it. Hey, did you meet the rich young ruler? Yeah, that's a good dude, man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a good dude right there. So we got this good dude. He said, I've kept those commandments as long as I can remember. I've kept those. Remember the question. Good teacher. What must I do to deserve eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. He lists them. I've done that. Let's get this straight. Dude, he's a good dude. He's got it going on. We don't know if he inherited the money. We don't know if he's an entrepreneur, just a great businessman. But we know that he's rich, he's young, and he's good. In verse 22, when Jesus heard that he said, I've kept all of those since I can remember, Jesus says to him, then there's only one thing left to do. Sell everything. Sell everything you own, give it to the poor, you'll have riches in heaven, then come follow me. Jesus is harsh. Everything? There's one thing you lack. There's one thing left you need to do. You need to get rid of everything, the riches, and sell them and give them to the poor, and then you come and you follow me. This is the shortest counseling appointment I've ever been to. In fact, I'm going to take Jesus' example from now on. And this is how long my counseling appointments are now going to be. I don't need to set an hour aside for you. I'm just going to bring you and your wife in when y'all come. We ain't getting along. Well, she ain't doing this. Well, he ain't doing that. She's not respecting me. Well, he's not loving me. I'm going to say, shut up and obey God. Love her. Love her. Cherish her. And you honor him. Pray. Do what God wants you to do. Obey the Lord. Get out of here. Jesus cuts to the root. Says, you got to get rid of everything. What was he saying to us? Because he's talking to us today. He's not saying to us that we have to sell everything we own and give to the poor. Somebody say, thank God. What he's doing is he's identifying the opponent that this rich young man has. He's identifying the very thing that stands between come follow me and what would keep him from doing that. It's his riches. It's its money. He likes it because some people go, Pastor, you, can I have money? Is it a sin to have money? And I said, nope. It ain't a sin. It's not a sin. Somebody pulled me aside one day. They wanted to buy this car. It was a Porsche. I said, Pastor, I want to buy this Porsche. I said, let me see it. And they showed me some pictures of it, and I'm thinking about buying this. What do you think? Do you think God would be okay with me driving a Porsche? And I just simply said this. I said, can I borrow it? And he said, yes. And I said, then I think the Lord would be pleased. Go get it. Look at me. God's not concerned about you having stuff. What God is concerned about is when stuff has you. Here's a man that's got stuff, and the stuff has him, and the stuff is going to keep him from the invitation to come and follow Jesus, to be a disciple. I want you to think about that request. Come follow me. Now, we know that there were 12 that actually answered that invitation. Come follow me. Peter left his nets, his livelihood, to follow Jesus. We know that Matthew push back his chair from the tax collector table to follow Jesus. There is always an opponent that is keeping you from being a disciple of Jesus. Look at me. We're just identifying this good dude's opponent because I know you got an opponent too. Y'all need to go get this gold book. It costs $5. We're going to start in January. You're going to get in a small group. You're going to get discipled. And you're already thinking about your opponent. Well, we're busy. Them kids. I got these kids. You know, my wife. Well, my husband. My business. All you're doing is identifying the very opponent because all of us get asked the same question. Jesus comes and says, come, follow me, be my disciple, and you've got an opponent that pops up that tells you every reason why you can't. What's your opponent?
Well, you know, business, you know, it's our business, it's business.
No, it's your opponent. You'll make time for anything that's important to you. Some of you left the duck blind yesterday. Can I look at me right here? Look, everybody, just listen to me. Listen to your pastor. The devil is not afraid of you coming to church. In fact, he shows up most Sundays. The devil is not afraid of you lifting your hands during worship and praising. He's not even afraid of you praying every once in a while, throwing one up to God. Let me tell you what he is afraid of. He's not even afraid of you opening up this book and reading a little bit of it every day. Let me tell you what he is afraid of. He's afraid of this book getting inside of you and you start following it and living like it, like you believe it, obeying it. When you start obeying it, that's when the enemy gets afraid. Go, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's don't get too serious now. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Let me just tell you something. Everybody here needs to be discipled. You need to be discipled. You can't get discipled by yourself. Disciples make disciples. You have to be, you need a Bible and a brother, scripture and a sister. You see what I did there? Bible and a, Jay Tolson, are you listening to me? Because you're a good Baptist boy. Baptists believe in discipleship. You need, in fact, I think you're in my group. Are they in our group? Okay, I got Jay Tolson. He's mine. He's mine. Look at me. There's an opponent. What's your opponent? Now, that good dude, let's watch what happens. This good dude, watch what happens. I've kept him since I can remember. Go sell everything you've got. Give to the poor. Come follow me. Watch what happens to him. This was the last thing the official, the rich young ruler, expected to hear. He was very rich, and he became terribly sad because he was holding on to a lot of things, and he was not about to let them go. What are you willing to let go? Can I just help you? Some of you got friends you need to let go. Some of your friends are keeping you from following Jesus. I'm trying. I'm so proud of a couple of our folks in here. I just want to just acknowledge them. I won't say their name. They know who they are. I'm so proud. We've got a woman in our church. She's a mama and a wife. She's got three children that are growing. They're very busy. She has a very stressful job. She really does. And she goes, we're so busy. But you know what? We're so busy. What was she doing? She was identifying her what? Her opponent. Busyness. And she goes, but you know what? The Holy Spirit put a couple of names, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to text them, and if they want to be in my group, if they want me to disciple them, they'll answer back affirmatively. They'll say yes to it. And she goes, I just decided I'm not going to let busyness keep me from the call of God on my life? And she sent the text and they answered yes. And now her group is growing. In fact, she's so excited because she answered yes. She defeated her opponent of busyness. Give God praise. We got another family in our church, a couple, and they're going, you know, they are very, very concerned about COVID. And they said, Pastor Eugene, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we need to disciple people, but COVID's here, and she's had some health issues that they need to be where they're at. And Jesus said, with my conditions, I can't be out there. And she goes, but I just decided that I'm not going to allow fear to stop me. Well, that was her what? Her opponent. I'm not going to let fear stop me. She goes, I got a group on Zoom. We meeting on Zoom. I'm not letting the devil defeat me to come and follow me. What is your opponent? You already know what it is. It's jumping up in front now going. I don't want anybody up in my business. Let me help you. Pride is your opponent. So the good dude is now the sad dude. The good dude is the sad dude. He walks away sad. Now let's go look at the bad dude. It's the next chapter. Beginning at verse number 1, in the city of Jericho, there lived a wealthy man. Here's another man that got some stuff. His name was Zacchaeus. I would like to give him an O-Town name. I'm going to call him Z. His name, Z, was the supervisor over all the tax collectors. Now, everybody look right here because make sure you understand. Z was a Jewish boy. In order to be a tax collector, to be a Jew and be a tax collector, you had to sell or buy the rights from Rome. Remember, Rome is the occupying force. Israel is under occupation. And Zacchaeus buys the rights from Rome to tax his own brothers and his sisters. So he'd go and collect taxes, put money in his pocket, wealthy, and to pay for the rights to tax his very own people. So in fact, it doesn't even say that he was just a tax collector. In fact, he's got a racket going on where he's making so much money, he's now hiring tax collectors to go get the money for him so he can stuff his pockets and still buy the rights from Rome. All the Jewish boys and Jewish girls of the city and the town in which he lived, he was not well liked. In fact, he would be considered a traitor. He would be a sellout. And he has made himself wealthy off the back and the tyranny of Rome and his own people. Now watch what happens to Z. As Jesus made his way through the city, Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. In fact, he kept trying to get a good look at him, but the crowd around Jesus was massive. Z was a very short man, about 5'7". How do I know that? Because I'm 5'8". Anything shorter than me is short. Zacchaeus was a short man and couldn't see over the heads of people. So he ran ahead of everyone and he climbed up a blossoming fig tree so he could get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. So when Jesus got to that place, he looked up to the tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry on down, for I am appointed to stay at your house today. Everybody say today. Today. Everybody look at me right here. Somebody say today. Today. This side today. 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 Look at me. We don't preach just to preach. What is God saying to you today? Today. Don't walk out of here on Sunday and go, that was a good message, Pastor Yu. I want you to hear another voice. I want you to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I want the sound waves, the supernatural sound waves to be bent so that you hear God's voice, not my voice, of what he's saying to you today. Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay with you today. And so he scurries down the tree and he comes face to face with Jesus. Vic, you're going to help me out. It's going to take me a minute to close. He scurries down the tree and he comes face to face with Jesus. And as Jesus left to go with Zacchaeus, many in the crowd complained. Look at this. Of all the people to have dinner with, he is going to eat in the house of a crook. Bad dude. Zacchaeus, dude, that dude's a bad dude. Rich young ruler, oh, that's a good dude. Zacchaeus, that's a bad dude. Reminds me of time we walked into the Delta Grand back in the day when one of you pulled me aside and pointed across the church and said, you see that dude over there? I can't believe that guy's even in church today. If you knew that dude, that's a bad dude, man. I can't believe he's in church. And I said, that's funny, because I met him a while ago and he pointed at you and said, he can't believe you're in church, that you're a bad dude. How many of you know we all bad dudes? Watch this. Watch Zacchaeus. Can't believe you're going to eat in the house of a crook. And Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus. Remember the good dude? Walked away sad. Bad dude? Glad. And he welcomes him and he's amazed over the gracious visit to his home. And Z stood in front of the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. Not teacher. Good man, good dude, doesn't even recognize who Jesus is. He calls him teacher. Here's the bad dude. Just says, Lord. Lord. Look what he says. Half of all I own, I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I've cheated anyone, do you think he might have cheated some people? And if I've cheated anybody, anyone, I promise to pay them. Not back, not twice, and not thrice. Thrice. I'll pay them back four times as much as I stole from them. Watch this. And Jesus said to him, this shows that today life has come to you and your household, for you are truly the son of Abraham, and the Son of Man has come to seek out and give life to those who are lost. Come on, Z. Look at me. So the good dude really was the bad dude, and the bad dude was really the good dude. One wealthy held it on to it, couldn't beat his opponent, while the other one, when he looked in the face of Jesus, said, I'll defeat my opponent, I'll give half of everything I make to the poor, and if I cheated anybody four times over, I'll do whatever it takes to follow you. Look at me. What is your opponent? You got one, and I got one. Oh, that's not a good night for me. Oh, we've been so busy, 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 busy. Y'all come see us. Yeah, we would. We just been so. Oh, you go see family this Thanksgiving. You're going, well, yeah, y'all come see us now. You ain't going to see them. They lying. They don't even want you to come see them. Well, we would, but we've just been too busy. Look, if the devil can't get you in sin, he'll keep you busy. What's your opponent? Look at me right here. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I wouldn't tell you this. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. I just want 2020 to get by. Listen to me. It's going to get darker. Our world is gone crazy. And it ain't over yet. If this doesn't drive you to God, I don't know what will. If it doesn't drive you to God, to get back to the very mission of which he laid hold of us when he said, I want you to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations and teach them all the things I've commanded you. Teach them so they too can obey, so they too could have eternal life. This is your moment. What do I do? Get a go book. Get ready for January when it comes. Not am I, will I, where is it? I'm gonna make sure I'm connecting, because I am not going to allow my opponent to keep me from following Jesus. Christianity was not meant to be looking in rows facing forward. It's not the fog machine and the lights. And this is church. Church was meant to be sitting in circles facing each other, iron sharpening iron. What's walking this thing out together with brothers and sisters? That's what Christianity was meant to be. Do you receive this word? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? You can get that today. I want you to receive this. I've got a message coming to you in the future. Everybody look right here. Listen to me. Listen to me. Are y'all listening to me? I don't want you to get all wrapped up in Trump and Biden and Republicans and Democrats and listen to me. The devil's got another plan. He's just showing you all this while he's doing this over here. Y'all look over here. He's trying. I was with one of our favorite couples. Y'all are all our favorite couples. But anyway, real good friends of ours in the church. We were with them the other day. They're African-American. We're driving down the road. We're talking about all this stuff that's going on in our world today. We probably didn't vote the same way. And I said, put your hand down beside my hand. And he put his hand down beside my hand. His was a little darker than mine. And I said, listen to me. The devil just wants to use this to divide us because he's trying to do something else over here. And it ain't really about rich. It ain't really about black and white. It's really not. That's just the Trojan horse that he's working his plan through. He's trying to do something even deeper than that. And if we don't wake up to that, we're going to miss the very moment in which we're in. This is your moment. This is your moment. What's your opponent? Holy Spirit, I pray right now that we'll see the opponent that's before us. And that, Father, we're not going to allow riches, hobbies, habits, hang-ups. We're not going to allow friends. We're not even going to let mama, daddy, wife, children keep us from pursuing the very things of what you've called us to do, to follow you and to be a disciple. And so, Father, we receive your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We cast down fear, pride. Father, we cast these things down in Jesus' name. And Father, we will hear the call to come and follow you and be a disciple of the Lord. We receive your word in Jesus' name. Christians, would you bow your heads? Let's pray. You might be here today and you are far from Jesus. You may be even the good dude who walked into the scene. I don't hurt anybody. I don't do things that hurt other people. Remember, it's not an issue of being good or bad. It's an issue of being lost or found, dead or alive. And even the reason why you're here today is because you've been dead on the inside. Can I tell you that the purpose of life is not found in finding some meaning? It's found in finding a person, and his name is Jesus. He's here. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. He'll let you start all over again. It's called being born again. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all the bad dude. And here today, you can give that, make that great exchange to give away your sin, and he'll give you his righteousness. It's called repentance. Asking God to forgive you, and he'll come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. Pastor, you, how do I get born again? It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short. Just admit it. I'm a sinner. B, believe that Christ came to be the sin bearer, the penalty payer, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame, and he died for it on a cross. And he rose again so you could rise again too. And then C, confess him as the Lord, the boss of your life. Follow him. If that's you today and you're ready to be born again, to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up high all over this room? Go, Pastor, you, it's me today. I want to be born again. Hold it up high. Thank you. I see your hands all over the room. A bunch of hands going up. Thank you. Congregation, let's add our voice to theirs. Let's pray this together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt. And you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God all the praise for that.